6.5%, was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round-by-round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually by the formerly pure of soul, Anna Forsyth at A4Sy03. Welcome, Anna.
God, my mom's going to listen to this and be like, what happened?
The stuff that happens before we click record, yeah. And that'll never be shared.
Yeah, and I choose not to contextualize it. But it's true. At one point in my life, I was pure. Now I am sullied, and now I'm sad because we are now rudderless. We are leaderless. We are captainless, Chris.
You are. I mean, I thought we were going to be talking about the Vancouver Canucks trading former captain Trevor Linden to the New York Islanders back on February 6, 1998. Right? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny how things kind of go that way.
I think we had all come to the realization that Bo Horvat's tenure as a Vancouver Canuck was likely up. I mean, we knew this sort of going into the last few weeks, even post, bye-bye Bruce. We're going to talk about a contract that we had not believed would be happening, and that was the writing on the wall. You know, unfortunately, Bo is no longer a Vancouver Canuck.
He's not. I mean, if we're listening to him, he thought he might be one for life. Unfortunately, that's not been the case. But yeah, we did see the writing on the wall. It's still shocking, you know, seeing it actually come to fruition. We knew it was going to happen sooner or later, sadly.
Yeah, but if for some reason you're like, why are you being around the bush? Yes, Bo Horvat traded to the New York Islanders. This is the second time in 25 years-ish that the Vancouver Canucks and the Isles have consummated a trade, which happened to have the Vancouver Canucks captain go the other direction. I said consummated a trade.
Yeah.
Don't be rolling your eyes at me.
Also, I mean, they just, you know, they bided their time. They traded away that pick. For Corey Schneider. Well, that was a devil.
So,
yeah, and then... go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the pick that Bo Horvat,
yeah,
you know, was originally an Islanders pick. We're going to get into the return, but I mean, a pick's coming back. So what you're saying is that whomever the Vancouver Canucks draft with this pick, when they get an opportunity to do so, will eventually find their way back into the hands of Long Island.
I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, I was saying the Islanders were playing the long game, but, like, maybe it's the even longer game. It was just, like, you know, trade their pick to New Jersey, trade it to Vancouver, they eventually get it back. Trade that pick away, and they eventually get it back. Yeah, maybe it's just, like, eventually they will come home.
Lou likes what he gives away. Anyway, we'll get into all of that in a short moment and rewind. Obviously, new coach. We're going to talk about his first week as a Vancouver Canuck, which we might. There's obviously a deal that did get signed. We'll talk about that. And, you know, it isn't an episode of C4 if we don't have an opportunity to roll our eyes at hockey culture within the NHL. So let's wind the show up just a smidge and talk about today's breaking news. I was out on the road when the trade went down. I had to go and pick up the kid from after school care and a couple of errands. And when I got home, there's a bunch of messages in C4 Discord. And I'm like, what? Bo got traded? Because I didn't think it would necessarily happen now, with it being sort of the quote-unquote bye week.
Mm-hmm.
not to say that it can't, but just I felt like if it was going to occur probably into February, I didn't think Bo would remain a Vancouver Canuck up to the deadline.
No. I think it was definitely coming to a head, but yeah, as you say, it's still kind of shocking when it actually happens. I mean, you were on the road, at least unlike Brendan Batchelor, who was in a pool in Mexico. His wife went up to the room and said, yeah, I think you better get out.
Yeah, no kidding. Just to recap for those that aren't completely aware as to what the deal includes, the Vancouver Canucks are sending their now former captain, Bo Horvat, to the New York Islanders. In exchange, the Vancouver Canucks have acquired forwards Anthony Beauvillier, Aturati, and a protected 2023 first-round draft pick. So the protection is that the Islanders have the ability to say if it's between picks 1 and 12 in the 2023 draft, we're going to keep that one this year. They have the right to keep it. They don't necessarily have to. And then right. If they exercise that right for 2023, 2024 is wide open. It is a Canucks pick, regardless of where the Islanders wind up having it. Let's be honest, it's likely going to be a 2023 first round pick with sort of where the Islanders are and, you know, how the draft lottery works.
Yeah. Like what a mid first round pick. That's more than likely to be the case.
Yeah. And I should also note, the Vancouver Canucks are, holding back 25% of Bo's salary. So, that
which was
allowed
a nice little detail that Lou added.
Well, you know, that's Lou being Lou, but let's be honest, any deal that the Vancouver Canucks were going to make for Bo Horvat was likely with them retaining some salary. It's not a big issue. It's this season's money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's, you know,
less than 1.5.
I actually, you know, look at it as being a sign that the Vancouver Canucks aren't going to suddenly go and decide, oh, we're going to try to get into the playoffs. No, this is, hey, we're going to actually use our cap intelligently, retain some money, ownership's agreeing to pay for a little bit. Bigger deal. Cool. Cool beans.
Yeah. I mean, what was your immediate reaction to the return?
In complete transparency, I don't know enough about Beauvillier or Radi as to say, oh, this is great.
I think apparently, according to our East Coast friends, it's Ratu, which is very confusing.
Oh, Ratu?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not know this, but I will obviously get this under my hat, shortly. I don't know enough about Beauvillier or Ratu. It's going to be difficult to pronounce seeing that why. But what I have heard and read is that he's got some significant upside, whereas Beauvillier, he's probably your young prospect filling in second, third, maybe a Jag, what have you. But what I like is this, obviously, first-round pick. I'm all about the picks. And when I compare how conversation is going in the Canucks sort of sphere to the conversation happening in the Islanders sphere.
Yeah.
The Islanders sphere doesn't feel they got the good end of the bargain, which gives me much more hope. I understand there are some out there who are like, the Canucks should have gotten more for Bo. I'm thinking they learned their lesson with JT Miller.
Yeah, especially with the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they could have. Maybe as we got closer to the deadline, more teams might be in play. But the Vancouver Canucks weren't in a position where they wanted to risk not having a decent deal. If someone doesn't like this, I think they can accept that, okay, it's decent. It's just not enough. But then when I look at how, you know, Islanders fans, Islanders media are looking at this and are like, whoa, man, how did the Vancouver Canucks get Ratty, who is considered to be like the Isles top prospect, as well as a first round pick? For Bo.
Right. And I think it's interesting because I think it does speak to, like, yeah, one, Rati's potential. And honestly, Beauvillier could be, like, it does seem to be, like, he's the kind of guy that put in with the right players, cough Elias Pettersson, that his sort of scoring could pick up again. I think that speaks to both that, but also how underrated Bo Horvat is. Like, Lou, like, damning with faint praise, says that he's on the verge of having a career year. Like, he's one goal away. Like, he's tied his best goal-scoring record in January. Like, that is underselling it, I think. He's having a career year. But, you know, Vancouver Canucks games are on late. Team sucks, yeah. So.
The, you know, other part of this deal and what's believed to be the case is that the Islanders are pretty darn serious about keeping Bo long-term. Like, this is not a rental. And, you know, there were some who were to suggest that, well, why didn't the Vancouver Canucks give the Islanders permission to already negotiate that and try to get more? I'd actually accept that type of argument because we've heard this all along. The Vancouver Canucks apparently weren't interested in giving many teams an opportunity to go to the player, talk to the agent. Which, sure. Yeah. I mean, with Bo, you that ship had sailed, right? Like, you went and signed, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, you know, Kuzmenko with the money that ultimately you may have had available for a Bo Horvat deal. So at this point, what's the harm in allowing teams to chat? Because you're not getting this guy back. But then, you know, you up the ante, right, with a signed player. But there was I was reading just sort of before we hit record, the hot rumor is that Horvat could potentially get 7 at 8.5, which if he does, awesome for him. Mm-hmm. There ain't no way the Vancouver Canucks could sign that. And honestly, even if JT Miller had been traded, I'm not sure if I'd have wanted the Canucks to sign it either at that price. And this is not a knock against Bo.
No.
I feel that the Canucks need to figure out their money troubles. And while, yes, players like Bo Horvat, JT Miller, eventually, you know, in a couple of seasons, Pettersson, these are players that are going to cost you big bucks. You need to buy some time to figure out your problems first. And I hope they do by the time PD needs his deal.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like, I don't think I would have hated that deal in that Bo does seem like that's the kind of deal he deserves, but should the Canucks be the ones to sign that? No, probably not, even if JT Miller is gone. Yeah, it did seem a bit stubborn that the Canucks were not letting teams talk to Bo's camp, but it did seem to me that they really didn't, like, they didn't give up the fight until right at the end. Like, they believed that they could still persuade all that to sign a cheaper deal, I think, right up until the end. Which seems delusional to me, honestly. But yeah, I mean, Bo was like ready to make it work right up until, I'm sure. Well,
I mean, he said in his press conference that, you know, this past summer and early, like, he thought he was a Canuck for life. He had just, based on everything he was hearing, the team wanted him back. He wanted to stay. They just needed to, you know, get a deal done. And for whatever reason, they went to Miller first. Like, I genuinely don't understand how Horvat and Horvat camp, presuming what they are sharing is truthful, because again, we're relying on what they're saying, would believe that they were back to suddenly see, oh, so you've gone in a different direction. And then there's a part of me that wonders, is that a reaction of, oh my goodness, we've got this player who's quite literally said, I'm not talking contract once the season starts, in JT Miller. We're going to lose him. We don't want to. We got Bo Horvat, who hasn't dropped that same thing. In fact, they were chatting. It's just the money just wasn't adding up. And then, hey, look who's having a career year.
But I mean, I don't remember if we talked about this last week, but like, apparently the Canucks were just panicking because they were trying to get either Bo or JT signed, and they didn't want to get no one signed. They didn't want to go into the new season with no one signed. But, like, the logic of that is just so ridiculous. Like, well, that's so stupid.
It may be ridiculous, but if you were to look at those two players, I think you could probably have Bo Horvat under contract and extended before puck drops at the start of the season if you haven't already committed the money you have to JT Miller. Now, are you likely in a position where JT Miller is no longer a Vancouver Canucks come trade deadline? Yeah, if his camp's made it very clear, we're not going to talk contract during the season, you trade him. Like, you're not really given much of an opportunity. But what does that mean? You've not tied up the money you have on a Miller who's having an off season, and hopefully it's just an off season and not a complete regression because the contract kicks in next year. And you've got Bo Horvat to a number that's probably much more reasonable than the one that the Islanders, and failing them, the market, will pay come free agency.
Yeah. I mean, a few things on that. It's just like, to me, it's like you make your choice. Like, once you sign JT, that's your choice. Like, that negates anything you can do with Bo, even though they, you know, they kept offering him things. And like you say, I don't know. To me, how many players do you know that regress in their 29th year and get, like, have a resurgence at 30? Like, it just seems very unlikely, but who knows? We've got to believe it to be the case. Otherwise, we cry.
Yeah. Well, we'll always cry. We're Canucks fans.
Yeah. But if you're Bo Horvat and you just, you know, you see the JT Miller deal and you think, that looks kind of like my deal. That's the money that I was hoping to get. And the Canucks are still offering you things and they're not quite getting there. And you say, that's not enough. Like, let's keep talking. That's not enough. And then Kuzmenko deal gets signed. And you think, okay, so if they were really stretching it and not getting near my point, like,
I wonder if the Vancouver Canucks, like, I mean, it was very clear, like, during the press conference a couple weeks back, they had said as much, you know, we have a number in mind. We know what he's worth. He's having a career year. But we have they were trying to explain, like, we don't feel he's worth as much as he's probably going to get now. That's fine. I think Bo Horvat accepts that that's the case. I mean, you know, that's not an issue. But it's interesting that the Vancouver Canucks were – at one point, not talking to Pat Morris while he was in town. In the next breath, talking and providing an offer. And then in the final breath, announcing that Kuzmenko remains in Vancouver on a bridge deal at a raise, considerable raise, which he was going to get somewhere. I mean, I don't know if the number matches what the market might pay because I don't know what the market would bear. But that was it. I mean, once that happened, people are like, all right, well, Bo's going somewhere now.
Yeah.
And look how quick.
Yeah, to be fair, it did happen quite quickly, but yeah. I mean, we are where we are, right? You know, we're glad that he's gone somewhere to get a new start, and we're glad he's got a somewhat decent return. So,
yeah, I mean, and it's better than the alternative of the Vancouver Canucks sit on a number, don't get it. Next thing you know, lose the player completely, which we have seen not necessarily, obviously, front office do much. They allegedly did that in the summer, but they didn't lose the player. They just signed him instead. Trail down effect, obviously, but, you know, Bo's gone. Now, looking back at Bo's time here in Vancouver, he had two playoff seasons, his rookie year and the bubble year. I can't imagine if you were to go back in time seeing the Vancouver Canucks have that much or, you know, have such a lack of success during his tenure. Like when he joined as a rookie, yeah, the window was closing, but there were some sort of bright spots. And then we started to see that sort of pick up. We have the mirage as to which the bubble happens. Bubble only happens, obviously, for reasons that allow the Vancouver Canucks to get into in the first place, which we've talked about before. But I mean, he was a good soldier, to use the analogy. He was the captain of the team for a reason. He, like, could you imagine if we had seen more seasons of playoff Bo?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of showed that he really came into his own when he was under pressure. You know, it's not a fun situation being in the bubble playoffs, no fans, all these restrictions, so on and so forth. And, like, Canucks are the underdogs. They have to play in to get there. And then they come up against the champs. And Bo Horvat just, like, really proves himself. But honestly, I think the season before he's made captain was his, like, proving ground. And they sort of piled on the minutes and gave him the tough matchups. And he kind of proved he could do it. So I think that's kind of been his style from the start. It's, like, thriving under pressure.
Yeah. Now, him going to the Islanders doesn't necessarily guarantee playoff opportunity.
Nope.
The Isles are
actually not.
They're closer this season. Whether or not they're there next season, I mean, I've seen, anyways, like Taj on Twitter, a few others had sort of commented about how wouldn't it be something if the Isles were to see that pick drop into the 12 or below, decide, hey, we're going to keep it this season and then have like just a crapper the year following, which is possible based on one, their division and the way the Eastern Conference is sort of projecting into 23-24. But I'm not banking on anything ever going to Vancouver Canucks way in that regard.
No, that's the thing. Yeah. I don't trust that. That's how it would shake out.
But like, if you're Bo Horvat, right, you don't necessarily have much say in this team that you're going to, but if you're going to commit and actually re-sign with the Islanders, like, what is the sell there? Like, hey, welcome to Long Island. We hope to be good one day.
We're closer than Vancouver?
But, I mean, I'm not going to say they aren't, but I might say, are they? Which I know is the same thing, but... Like, Vancouver is at the bottom, but let's be honest.
Yeah.
If Vancouver were to have traded considerably their top prospect for a good player in Bo Horvat, but that doesn't move the needle enough to make you a playoff contender. I mean, yeah. Maybe the Isles have more going on that we don't know yet.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that the Isles are, like, you know, one player away and Bo Horvat was that player. Like, I just think they're just not. I mean, they've got a lot of money tied up in Coquitlam's Matt Barzal, which is his full name, by the way.
Coquitlam's Matt Barzal.
Yeah, that's the full name.
From Maple Ridge. That would make it much more.
Yeah,
I know he's from
the Express. Yeah. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, Mark Barzal and Anders Lee, who, that's a goalie name, and you still can't convince me that he's a forward. But, like, they're not. They don't have as much money tied up as Canucks do. So I'm just saying they are closer than Vancouver. I'm not saying they're close or, like, they're actually still pretty far away. But I just don't think it's as much of a mess as Vancouver.
So off the rails a little bit. The New York Islanders still have Ricky DiPietro tied up in buyout. Now,
he was
bought out when the teams were provided the amnesty buyout.
Right.
But the buyout runs. So this team is essentially, I mean, it must be a lump sum. Like, if it's not a lump sum, Ricky DiPietro has been making $1.5 million a season since 13-14 and will continue to do so until 28-29.
That's wild, isn't it?
Like, I mean,
like, honestly, I was just like, is he Michael DiPietro's dad? Like, he's old, like, right? He's, you know, Luongo old.
Let's see. So Ricky's first season was 05-06. Okay, so he's currently 41. He was born in 81. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like, he has signed two contracts to a value of $70 million.
Yeah, and he's not old for a person. He's old for a hockey player that's still getting paid on someone's books.
Length. So the deal he signed in 06-07 was a 15-year deal. 1.5,
yeah.
Valued at 67.5, which, you know, people suggested that Luongo had a horrible contract.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I mean, and that was before the NHL went and started using Luongo as an example. But that amnesty buyout that the Isles exercised in 2013 took that 4.5 AAV, took it off the cap because it was an amnesty buyout. Mm-hmm. And 1.5 million through to the end of the 28-29 season.
Wild.
Yeah. And yeah, he hasn't played since. He hasn't played in Europe.
Oh, why would
from
he?
From what I can tell. Yeah. Anywho. But looking at the Islanders, I mean, they cap space, they're not in horrible
Talk about bad contracts, though. Zach Parise, they have on their books as well. Not that he's got a bad contract anymore. But, yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. So his $750,000 for one season, not horrible. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Barzal, $7 million. Anders Lee, the not goaltender, $7 million. Brock Nelson, $6 million. On the blue line, Ryan Pulock, $6.15 million. Adam, is it Pellick, I think? $5.7 million. I mean, they have some sizable contracts, two of them on their blue line, one of them up front already. The Barzal being the extension that kicks in next year, $9.15 million. Good for Bo.
I mean, obviously we hope it works out for him. We're glad it's not Boston, but yeah, it's certainly not like the cup contender he was hoping for.
No. Well, I mean, there was thought that the Hurricanes might be in on Bo Horvat, but the hot rumor is that the Vancouver Canucks wouldn't provide permission to talk to the player, and that was a condition for the team to actually really come to the table. Some thought Seattle might be interested in bringing Bo down the I-5, though I'd have to think Seattle pays a premium, not only a West Coast premium, but a Vancouver not wanting to feel the heat every time Horvat's in the stadium and the fans cheer him on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the talk with the Bruins deal was stalled when the Bruins wouldn't give up Brandon Carlo in the deal. It's just crazy to me that the Canucks are just trying to get these roster players all the time. It's like, no. You need to be getting young prospects and picks. That's
No. We're roster players. We're not rebuilding. We're focusing on major surgery that doesn't include replacement parts.
That includes
replacement parts, sorry.
Yeah, it does seem wild to me that it's just like the Canucks are still delusional enough to think about that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Bo Horvat is their first good player they've given up in years, right? Just like some problem player they've had to sweeten the deal to get off the books.
Someone used the analogy that the Vancouver Canucks idea of major surgery is that their car has broken down, and instead of going and either replacing the car, getting a new one, or alternatively getting a new part to replace the ones that are broken, they're going to the wreck yard to find a junker that'll buy them a few extra years before they have to go and do it again. And that analogy makes so much sense. How many different old parts from junker cars have gone into the Vancouver Canucks engine over the years and have not given any more results because their prime's done. At best, they get the engine running and the fuel economy is shot. It's a great analogy. I wish it was mine. Kuzmenko, as we said, signed a deal. It is a bridge deal. He's going to be on the books for the next two seasons at $5.5 million. He apparently had approached the team and said, let's make a deal. We don't want to go anywhere. And it happened quick. What I find interesting as far as timing is concerned is his parents were in town, as was his childhood friend.
Yeah, who, wasn't that funny? Just like, yeah, mom, dad, childhood friend.
The letter was mom, dad, sister, childhood sister. Friend.
Yeah, childhood friend.
But, you know, like, if it's like, oh, it happened quick and mom and dad were here, there's some thought like, okay, are the Canucks actually, you know, telling the whole story? But then Kuzmenko is just – he seems so genuine that part of me wonders, did mom and dad want to come and actually check out the city, check out the people? Because he's saying, I like it. I want to stay. They had a
chat. Yeah, he says, I like it a lot.
Right? And they're like, yeah, you know, you've been good to our boy. You can stick around. Like, if this is the case – one, did the Canucks get a discount? Who knows? I mean, at 5-5, people will say, heck no. But let's be honest. Would he have gotten that on the market the way he's been playing this season? Maybe. I mean, the fancy stats suggest he's performing at a level beyond.
Yeah, it's going to come down, like the shooting percentage, and he's playing with Patterson, and he's very good at getting me on the end of passes.
Just put your stick on the ice.
Oh, yeah. Pylon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, in a vacuum, it's a good deal. He's the kind of player you want to see stick around. He's good for marketing. He's good for fans. He has a great attitude. He wants to learn. And, yeah, he plays great with Pedersen. But, like, is it the Cannondale Canucks should be signing? Possibly not. That's a lot of money to
throw at a player. What is it that you and I liked 26. About the Bo Horvat deal? Like the trade. What is it that you and I liked about that trade?
Oh, the pick.
The pick. Is it possible that Kuzmenko at the deadline gets you a pick from a rental team? Like, could use a, you know, a serviceable player? I mean, the price point that he would paid it's this season is less than $1 million.
Yeah. It's a good price point.
Yeah. I mean, you're not bringing him back well, I'm not going to say in all likelihood. But I mean, you're right. In a vacuum, good deal. We're not in a vacuum. And yeah. I'm not against Kuzmenko. Like, anytime someone's asked me, oh, he's like one of my favorite players on the team now.
Yeah, it's been great to watch.
And on topic-ish, off the rails, Wyatt's been talking about this quite a bit, especially since the departure of Bruce. And he said it many times before this. Vancouver Canucks fans will support a player or a coach who shows up, works hard every day, genuinely looks like they want to be here and show that appreciation and return to the fans. Like, we will go to the walls. One of the reasons why we... You know, Jags in the past have been the players who we've overvalued. And it's because we truly appreciate it. So like a kid like Kuzmenko, who loves the city, loves the fans, genuinely hustles, works hard. We love him. Bo Horvat, I know there are some that don't like him, but I don't think anyone would have ever questioned his commitment, his hustle, showing up to work, being good for the city. Like that's the stuff we love. What we don't like and generally show disdain to are those who don't fit within that mold. There have been many. There may be a few on the team right now. But to that effect, I mean, to what he says, I completely agree. And it's why for, you know, Kuzmenko, I would have rather he be dealt and an asset be brought back in return. But hey, I'm going to be happy cheering him on next season. Presuming he doesn't get traded to one of the non-12 teams. They're on his no trade list.
Do you think Edmonton's on there? Just like,
gosh, I don't know.
Don't take me to, they took me to Joey.
Hey, Joey's in Edmonton might be a classy joint. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Joey's. I'm not above going to Joey's, but
I've been to Joey too.
I'm not an NHL player. A future NHL player. You're trying to impress.
Yeah, I mean, But this thing, it could be that the Joey in Edmonton is like, you know how like restaurants have some like showcase locations and an elevated experience? Maybe the Edmonton one is.
Breathing directly into the microphone, but I was just finding it hard to believe.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll see. As you say, we'll enjoy him whilst he's playing because he is very enjoyable to watch. He's a fun personality, but yes, would have been fun to see what we could get from him also, yes.
The other thing that we should probably talk about, too, before we jump out of Rewind, is that Rick Tocchet has had his first week behind the Vancouver Canucks bench, where they had a handful of games. And I think, you know, an apt title of this episode prior to everything that went down today might have been the Tocchet of the Town, TikTok-it.
Yeah, know. I was trying to find a Tocchet pun, and I didn't come up with one. I came up with a different pun, but that episode title is Lost at the Sound of Time. If you want, we can just read out the sentence that I put together on my rundown and be done with it.
Rick's first week in charge. Blackhawks are bad. Kraken are good now. The Canucks PK is still bad. Shaw TV is bad. The Kuzi PD partnership is still good, but PD and JT, are they quote unquote good?
There you go.
Okay,
like,
so
as in, you good? Like, are we good, bro? That's
yeah. I mean, just to give you my thoughts, are the Blackhawks bad? They are. The Canucks were trying to show that they were almost as bad. The Kraken are definitely good, and I love Kraken fans with their Bruce There It Is chant. I mean, I'm going to presume it's Kraken fans giving us the Bruce There It Is. Maybe there's a few Canucks fans in there, but if it's Kraken fans, epic troll. That's awesome. Props to you. The Canucks PK, I mean, Tocchet wasn't going to fix it in a week.
No,
I think everyone
true.
Under the sun knows it's bad. I don't think it's going to improve over the course of the season, despite their best efforts. I mean, personnel maybe just with trades and stuff, but let's be honest, Bo Horvat, who is probably one of their, you know, key faceoff guys, and on a PK that can't win faceoffs is never going to be good. Well, guess what? You don't have him anymore.
Yeah. I mean, when you were putting out a player just to take defensive zone faceoffs and then take him off again, you know you're in trouble. So. Yeah.
Shaw TV, I heard there were problems, but I'm a TELUS TV customer. I did not experience problems. But I do think back to the days of Canucks pay-per-view when I worked at Shaw, and boy, oh boy, did I hate those nights. I hated the night of the pay-per-view, and I hated the following day, because if there was so much as a blip, the Canucks would go and say, oh, call the provider. I worked at Shaw, so it would have been Shaw. But more often or not, the problem was at the source. Like, it was the Vancouver Canucks broadcast center, the company or third party they brought in to film and ultimately, you know, funnel the feed. And there wasn't very much that Shaw, TELUS, or anyone could do. And it's one of the reasons why when the pay-per-view didn't work, it didn't work for anyone. It's because it was a source issue. And the team was like, not us. Don't worry. We got our money. We're good.
Well, yeah. But clearly this time it was very much a short TV issue. And
what actually happened?
Well,
like, was it not authorized or?
It's yeah. That's I've what seen it said. That it said comment. That it was league issues. Or, like, league restrictions, that's what it said. Mm. And everyone was very mad about it. And Shaw TV was just, like, the whole game just said they were investigating it. Like, they didn't provide any updates, really. So
I the technology has changed since I last worked there. But, like, as you and probably our listeners know, like, Sportsnet has a variety of different feeds. So does TSN. And in some of these feeds, they have regional rights coverage. So, like, TSN is a rights holder for the Winnipeg Jets. And so you might see in your guide, Winnipeg Jets are playing, but we in Vancouver cannot. And Shaw is obligated to ensure that we can't see the feed. So there's technology working on the back end that identifies information that's attached to the feed and whether or not it'll be shown. If I were to hazard a guess, what occurred with this particular game is that it was broadcast on a regional feed, but then a one or a zero, whatever it would happen to be, the flag was toggled incorrectly.
Yeah,
and that doesn't get fixed in real time.
Yeah.
That's a done deal.
Yeah. It was unfortunate. I was in a bar settling in for the night. And so we'd ordered a big pint, and then it was like, oh. So
you get to drown your sorrows in that pint.
yeah, we finished our pint, headed back to my friend's house, and got it up on Sportsnet Now subscription, so we were able to watch the second and third period. But yeah, it was unfortunate. People were mad, but like every, like we went into another bar to check, you know, they were having the same issue still and it hadn't been resolved, and they just had the basketball on, and we said, oh, like, are you having trouble with the Canucks game? And they were like, what Canucks game? And I was like, cool.
What? I mean, may I ask what establishment this was?
This was the local, which I've watched quite a few games at.
Well, no, I was thinking down, like, yeah. You know, like if there are, depending on different places, there's clientele, but that would be one that I would think would have the Canucks game on. So yeah, the fact that it wasn't probably shows you how enthused people are to watch a Canucks game in a bar right now.
Yeah, apparently.
Just to recap, Canucks 5-2 over Chicago, 6-1 to Seattle, unfortunately. Seattle's first win, and boy, did they ever. And then the Vancouver Canucks came home and beat the Blue Jackets 5-2 to give Tocchet a 2 out of 3 dubs to kick off his tenure as coach.
The meatloaf score.
Yeah. Anywho. We're going to take ourselves a short break, not as long as the Vancouver Canucks one. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
I kind of got us into sort of what we were going to talk about with half full, half empty as part of Rewind. But that
we've
said,
already, but yeah.
There's a lot more going on. Like, for instance, Bo is gone, Kuzmenko's still here. What does this mean? We got into that. It means that the Vancouver Canucks are acknowledging that they are in a, whatever you want to call it, but a tank for the season. I think it's a clear indication that they have, you know, resigned themselves to not being in the playoffs, which honestly, I think we knew when they said Bruce was gone. We got some very candid responses from Alvin and Rutherford along those lines, albeit maybe less candid than they needed to be and more candid than they should be. But then when we start to look at sort of what else is going on with the team, now question marks come up. Like, hey, you've got some players who are cooking down in Abbotsford, in Podkolzin and Hoglander. Do they find an opportunity to come up and get to experience the Rick Tocchet to show? Or do you leave them down in Abbotsford?
I mean, if you're asking me, I would say leave them. Like,
yeah, let them cook.
Let them cook. Let the babies cook. Especially as we got
I'm trying to think. What is the nursery tale where the kids are being put in the oven?
Oh, like the witch that cooks them, that gets them all fat and tries to cook them? Yeah.
It's not Riding Hood, is it?
No. Is that Hansel and Gretel, maybe?
Yeah, Hansel and Gretel. There we go.
Hansel and Gretel.
Hogs and Pods. Hansel and Gretel. Same thing.
Yeah. Especially with this trade with Rachi coming back, that could be fun to see, like, him playing down with Podkolzin and Hoglander. Maybe Canucks are doing well. Like, they're not, like, running away with anything, but you know, they're playing some good hockey, some good AHL level hockey, nonetheless. And I think it's really good for Podkolzin and Hoglander, and they're both kind of aware of the process and committed to that. So, like, yeah, what's the point? Leave them there.
Not in your notes, but something that's worth mentioning is the Vancouver Canucks lost to Petey.
Yes, I did originally have him in my notes, and I think he got bumped, with all that was going on. But yes, the Canucks are a PD down. They don't like having more than two PDs at once.
Well,
Tan gone.
What's going to happen when they have Lane two, Peterson, you know, gone. Two PDs as opposed to two PDs?
Yeah.
But I mean, what we're talking about, Lane Peterson was placed on waivers, which some might say why, like it wasn't a requirement. Well, the funny thing is the moment he hit the waiver wire, people are like, there's a deal. That's got to be it. That's got to be free up space. And maybe it was. Maybe it was related to the deal that was consummated today. We don't know. With an certain – I haven't heard that's the case. Consumé. You know, when you finished your dinner, you have consummated the consumé. But Columbus claimed Peterson off of waivers, having seen him. I think Peterson played on Friday, did he not?
Yeah. Yeah, which was interesting, right? And then that's when people said, are you not allowed to play people that are on waivers? Turns out, yeah, you are. People just tend not to.
Well, hey, you're allowed to play players who are going to be shut down for the rest of the season, you know, 5 minutes after the game is over. I mean, so why not?
True. It does seem crazy, though, that you are allowed to play people that are on waivers. Because, like, what if they get injured and then it's just like, oh, well, we were going to claim him and you just, like, hand over this broken part?
Well, I don't know when the claim it's a there's a deadline to have the claims in, and if you know it's not like first come first serve, it no, is it first matter. Come first serve based on the order, and so arguably you just if oh he's hurt now we withdraw our claim, as most teams probably would with that update, but yeah, Lane Peterson he is going to find himself playing for the Blue Jackets, related to what we just spoke about. The Vancouver Canucks earlier in the day had scheduled a press conference. Alvin was going to be talking to the local media. It was going to be happening Friday morning. This was announced, I think, on the Thursday. Then on Friday morning, it's been delayed until after the game, at which point people are like, oh, yeah, well, the Canucks are looking to bury bad news. The fact that they were going to have this conversation in the morning but have delayed it, I don't know if that's what was happening. Part of me wonders if they decided that it wouldn't be good to go and say, we're going to shut down a player, but then play him. Let's play him, then shut him down. Mm. I mean, or was it they were going to shut him down before the game, but then realize they needed him to play? I don't know. But what ultimately came out of the conversation that Alvin had with media was that Ilya Mikheyev had suffered an ACL tear. This occurred in September when it was rumored to have occurred. I'm trying to think who it was in the media that reported. I think it was Frank Saravelli that had reported that early indications it's not good, it's an ACL tear. And then it comes back, no, he's fine, he's strong, he can play. He's been cleared. And people were like, look at the media trying to stir things up. No, it totally was torn. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the conversation that happened at that point was that, well, can you damage it any further? No. And the medical team and Mikheyev worked it up to have him play through to that point. Now they've decided to shut him down because, one, the time after the surgery and then the recovery time would give him an opportunity to be back in time for training camp next year now. This season's a write-off. But I'd ask, why now? Why not like a week ago? Like, I mean,
yeah, I don't know what the deal was. Like, when you're saying they needed him to play, like, gosh, like, I mean, run the team without a forward. Like, your farm team's just down the road, although I think they were in Arizona at the time. But, like, there's no way you need a player to play that one game. It seems crazy to me that, like, I guess it's a new team, it's a new contract, he's trying to...
I understand the decision he's making earlier in the season to continue to play. Like, you know...
I mean, I do and I like don't.
Well, okay. I mean, you're right. So, like, I this is an injury that I personally experienced. I blew out my left ACL during a softball game. And once the swelling in my knee had come down, as far as it felt to me, I was fine. Now, I wasn't. The stability in my knee was off considerably, but the way the ligament functions is when your muscles are slack, it's what keeps your joint in place. So as long as your leg muscles are engaged, like you're walking and that, your muscles are what's actually keeping things good. It's the moments of that slackness. And then the ligament not there, things start to shift, bad things ensue. There are ways to obviously add some artificial support. So like knee braces, we see, I mean, football players wearing knee braces all the time, though in that case, I think they're more often the additional support to supplement what the ligaments are providing, though I'm not a doctor. I've only stayed in a Holiday Inn Express once. But what was Mikheyev thinking, to your point? Just signed a deal, new team. What were the Canucks honestly thinking of this season? We're a playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. They were delusional. Yeah. But yeah, I guess your point is like, why now? Like, what's so different? Like, this and week from last week?
Yeah, like to me, like, I understand, okay, his timing is I want to be here and ready for training camp. There's a sort of point as to which surgery occurs and recovery. Like when I had my surgery, I was explicitly told for the next 3 months, protect your knee. I needed to do rehab, strength training, what have you, but I couldn't just return. Like as much as it was structurally sound, it takes time for the repair to ultimately heal, like the, you know, the blood flow to reestablish and all of that jazz. And during that time, you're actually in a greater level of risk to ruin the repair.
I mean,
so that time,
yeah,
3 months. Like, yeah, for me, it was 3 months. That was what the doctor said. I would imagine it's probably the same for a professional athlete, right? Yeah, he might be returning on a 3 month mark. Me, I was like 6 months at best to get to where I was before. But you know, last week during the press conference, they're like, "Our season's done. We are tanking, aren't we?" Hey, why did he have to play three more games?
Yeah. I mean, why did Bruce have to sit there for two extra games?
True.
Yeah. I will say, like, it's not the most egregious thing I've seen. Like, it kind of sort of speaks in general to hockey culture and our listeners who have read our friend Aaron Bolpatty's book, like, will know there's a lot of that in there, playing through pain just to get that. But like, as you say, like, and as both Mikheyev and his agent have reminded us, you know, the Canucks didn't force us, like, this is totally our decision, blah blah blah, but it's in the context of everything else, right? It's in the context of Tanner Pearson, who is still out.
That's, you saw the picture,
is still out. Yeah,
like it look like, I don't know what, if it's a, like, I was trying to figure out, is it a brace? Is it like, I don't know what the it's called, where you have like the metal rods, like, and the screw, like the bolts out of, protruding out of your skin, holding bones and things in place. Like, yeah, there's a traction, I think is the term, but just from the picture we saw, it does not look good. And you know, this was an injury that was supposed to be a few weeks to now a few years. Like, there's so much unknown there.
Yeah. Thatcher Demko, you know, who's meant to be out for 6 weeks, now it's like 12 plus, right?
Well, and so the Demko one, I'm not willing to go and castigate the team completely, because there's so much that we don't know. Not to suggest the team doesn't know either. I think they do. But we know players are – like, Mikheyev is a good example. Mikheyev had to come out and say, it was a me decision. I'm the one who continued to play. Like, the team was giving me options. They provided me all the support. I'm the one who chose to do this. There are players, and I think Demko is cut from that similar cloth. He would play if given an opportunity to do so, as opposed to not. And is it possible that in that situation, did that play into things? Because all we know is that he had a medical or surgical procedure in the off season that fixed him, but it's an unknown as to what. Mm-hmm. And then there were thoughts that he wasn't looking quite right. Is there possibly a nagging injury or something like, you know, muscle strain, joint issue bugging him? And then when he got hurt, it was quite clear when it happened that it was bad almost instantly, because you could tell. And it was from a, like a non-contact play, which are always the worst when it's something like that. And it's what appears to be a very grievous injury. There's so much there. Now, shutting him down, they sort of made that decision a week ago. Yeah, he's not coming back. We're not rushing this back. I don't think they've quite said he's shut down for the season.
I don't think so, but yeah.
I know they've said they're not going to bring him back quick.
Yeah.
But on that note, Demko allegedly don't want to be here no more.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of talked about, like, Demko as one of the untradeables, right? You know, very much behind Pedersen and Quinn. But kind of, it would have to be a good deal because the Canucks need goaltending. Has he had a stellar year, like, before he got injured? No, like, but I think it was just him averaging out a bit. Like, he wasn't providing Vezina goaltending, but like enough of that behind terrible defense.
And earlier today, like, Rick Dhaliwal had come out and said that he felt that, you know, Demko was in the market, and Elliot Friedman had agreed that, you know, prior to sort of recent times, would have never thought the Canucks would have moved on Demko. But based on what he's hearing, seems to be more possible. Then you have Farhan Lalji on the VanCast, who asks this: how much in play do you think is Demko right now? I think it's a little bit more than people want to believe. Now, he then goes on and says, does Demko want to be here? From what he has heard, people around are close to it that Demko does not want to be here. There is a conversation that he is not enamored with the market, the scrutiny, the organization. Pickett, it's all of it. Now, he went on to clarify that that doesn't mean the player is asked to be traded.
No.
But to my earlier point, where I think we as a market, we'd be totally behind Demko, it comes out that he's maybe not enamored. That's a poison pill.
I mean, I would just be curious about the specifics. Obviously, we're never going to hear those, but like, I feel like the scrutiny, the market, the organization just kind of gets thrown in together. And there's some, like, I understand the scrutiny in the market's hard, but so many people like enjoy that. And there's so many benefits that way, how hard it is to play in a hockey market. But maybe taken in the context of, you know, the organization at large, maybe not trending in the right direction, then yeah, fair enough. But yeah, I feel like those things get thrown in together a little too often. And yeah, who knows what it is. We had a little chat in Discord today about maybe non-hockey reasons. That maybe Thatcher Demko is not enamored with the politics of Vancouver. What can you do about that?
I think that's broader than Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. But
like the market issue Vancouver is a market that not all players, I think, are keen on. I get that. I accept it. I mean, just like you and I were talking about the, you know, Joeys in Edmonton, we're not necessarily taking a shot at Joeys. We're more taking a shot at Edmonton. Yeah. Not every market has, you know, a sparkle in the eye of a player. Vancouver probably irritates a number of players. In fact, we've had, you know, players for tax reasons choose to live in the States, and we've had players for other reasons to continue to live in the States, mm-hmm. living in like Blaine or in Point Roberts. We had a coach, Tortorella, who elected to live in Point Roberts while he was here. And, you know, there are reasons that just takes place.
Overall.
So,
But like stuff like that, not that we can control the you know, the organization either, but like, you know, the Canucks is a market, like, and Vancouver and Canada is like a political entity. It was never gonna, that's not gonna change. Certainly not for hockey.
No.
And like, yeah, you can't control things. Literally 10 Connor McDavids couldn't persuade me to live in Edmonton. Like, playing with a whole team of Connor McDavids could not persuade me to live in Edmonton. But I'm sure for some players that would be appetizing. Like, whether it's the, yeah, the lifestyle, the, like, teammates, tax reasons, that can persuade you to live in some terrible places, or the way the team's going. But yeah, no, the way the team is going in Vancouver is not good. So that's not.
And to make it very clear, I mean, it, you and I have a perspective that's quite a bit different than someone who might be from Edmonton.
Yeah, I know. Like, elsewhere, I'm sorry, like, Albertans.
Well, no, but like, I want to, like, I, to me, if someone says, why wouldn't you want to live in Vancouver? I'm like, exactly. Why wouldn't you? You know, I've had my, just personally, like, people like, oh, go move here, move there. Cost of living's better. Opportunities are great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I cannot picture myself outside of, well, the Pacific Northwest. But for me, that's, you know, for reasons, Vancouver, Metro Vancouver. But that's all I know.
Yeah. Jason Kenney, please stop calling us. We're not going to move to Alberta.
Well, he's not in charge anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It got worse. Without getting into the politics. Oh, you need to, I mean, again, I try not to make C4 that political, but I am showing my political slant in saying,
oh, just you wait for the next segment.
Well, let's not make them wait much longer and dive into the F word.
He liked to say the F word.
Oh, then get the f*** here then. Yeah. Okay, see ya.
Oh. He's going to have the F word on it.
I wish I could give you a f***ing explanation about it. I can't.
You f***ing out of here.
You said the F word, Dad.
You called me the F word.
We went for a few episodes where we weren't talking about the culture problem the NHL has. Then last week we shared how in the state of Florida, the NHL was trying to do something progressive, something that promoted inclusivity, and found themselves in the target of the governor, and decided that, let's not piss off the governor for reasons. I mean, it might be more than that, but it's unfortunate that the league chose to do this. We also spoke about briefly how in Philadelphia, a player elected to not take part in warm-up on the Pride night because it would have required him to wear a jersey with a rainbow-colored lettering and logo, and that was against his religious beliefs. And, you know, again, as much as someone has every right to do that, it also comes with the realization that that's not promoting, you know, it's like, I'm going to exclude this because it's not inclusive. Well, you're choosing to exclude. It's a promotion of the exclusion of others. But you know, more has continued. I mean, the one that's most recent news broke, was breaking news on CTV this morning when I was watching the news, that Bobby Hull passed away.
Right.
As a hockey player, Bobby Hull was a phenomenal player in his era.
Yeah. Just like legendary level of play. And I think especially as I'm someone that loves to promote the art of defense. So, like, Bobby Hull, icon in terms of play on the ice.
Off the ice? Not he a sucked. Phenomenal person.
He sucked. Racist, wife beater, big Hitler stan. Like,
what are you talking about? He came out and had a press conference where he said, I am not this.
Yeah, I just think Hitler had some good ideas. Yeah. So there's been a lot of people online today saying, you know, don't jump on his legacy. He's just died. But I think, like, it's a good time.
Yeah, don't make it political, Anna.
Like, yeah.
It's not a time for politics.
It's just like, no, you can say, like, if no one said anything about his death, maybe you don't have to bring it up. Well, but, like, people are celebrating him. And, like, without, like, mitigating it with, also, he was a terrible person. So you need to say it.
There, you know, this is the thing that that confuses me. It's bigger than the NHL. There are extremely talented people on this planet who do amazing things with that talent, who are equally horrible in many other ways.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why you can't acknowledge both, because if you choose to acknowledge one over the other, it should be fair that you can say both. Like, it's not like, oh, well, this discounts that. No, it doesn't.
I did like the title of the article that was just like, Bobby Hall is not complicated. Because he isn't. He wasn't a, like, difficult or complex person. He sucked. So I think we need to stop beating around the bush. About that, sorry, please keep going, because I want
to. Well, I was gonna say, I saw someone trying to say, well, it was a different era. You know what? I could accept that if you saw, hey, I was a horrible person. I have since learned and grown from this. There's nothing I can do to mitigate what I said, but I'm gonna own that I said it, and I see how wrong I am. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's you're trying to atone for wrongs that you cannot go back and remedy, but you show that growth. That did not happen here.
Yeah, and like, he died either yesterday or today, so it's not like he didn't exist in the one world.
Well, if for some reason, let's say, I don't know, for whatever reason he was in the news cycle, would we have talked about him the same way we are talking about him today? Possibly, outside of the fact that we wouldn't be saying he died.
Yeah.
And Phenomenal player, horrible person.
Right. And as a segue, the modern world ain't that great, by the way. You were talking about the Pride Night that wasn't in Philadelphia. Like, Ivan Provorov declined to participate. And then we saw the New York Rangers, who advertised their Pride Night as players are wearing jerseys, Pride jerseys for warm-up. They're wearing Pride tape on their sticks, except when they weren't. So the Pride Night still went ahead. There was an LGBTQ plus leader dropping the puck, I believe. It was named as a Pride Night, but it was muted. Like, right? They didn't say anything, but, you know, you're a LGBTQ plus fan and you're like a Rangers fan and you know, that's a game you're excited for. You say, oh yeah, I'm going to watch my team and they're going to skate around in their Pride jerseys. And like, if you can't even do the symbolic gesture, like, people might say, oh yeah, but it's just symbolism. Like, it's just a gesture. It doesn't mean anything. But if you can't even do the gesture, then yeah. It's a problem.
It's akin. Well, I mean, again, akin to sort of what I shared last episode. It's amazing how something so colorful scares so many people. And I know it's more than that. Like, the message and what it means is far more than that. But how, like, and I mean, not hockey related, but I brought up the Pink Floyd anniversary and how an album of light hitting a prism and shattering into the visible colors, which we all learn in school. I mean, I don't know how they describe it to you from the old country, but here it's Roy G. Biv.
Yeah.
That's how you learn the colors of the rainbow.
Richard of York gave battle in vain.
Yeah. What was that?
Richard of York gave battle in vain. That's how you remember it.
Okay. But again, in this modern, somehow it's, they've gone woke, man.
Yeah.
That's indicative of you not knowing Pink Floyd. And if you do, you never knew them.
Yeah. The article, by the way, that I brought up, Bobby Hall was not complicated. That's in The Defector, written by Barry Chesky. I'm going to put these in Discord and probably tweet them, because there's also another great article on Deadspin by, I believe the author's called Sam Fells, called The NHL Isn't For You. And that's about the Pride Knights that weren't. And it's angry and it's searing and it's, I haven't quite finished it yet, but it's pretty good. And it's funny, we mentioned You Can Play in Passing last week, not realizing like really how, yeah, they've been lame. I've been a huge You Can Play supporter over the years. I've raised money for them. I bought their merch, but honestly, it seems clear that they're more interested in, you know, pandering to the NHL than calling out bigotry where it happens.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm quoting from memory, and I'm an old person, so my memory isn't that good. But like their executive director was talking about how it's important to look at the gains that we've made, and how in this night, this is still a good thing. And
yeah, and we need to make room for everyone and everyone's opinion.
That's the type of thing that I could see the proverbial you say if equity existed.
Right.
It doesn't. So it's not like, I don't think we've reached that stage yet.
Yeah. And in the article, the Sam Fells article, he mentioned like, what do gay NHLers think? Because they exist. We don't know who they are, but they exist. And I don't know if he goes on to mention Luke Prokop specifically, but like, this isn't just a, you know, ephemeral idea. Oh, we know NHLers exist, we're like queer, but we don't know who they are. Like, we know there is an openly gay NHL prospect who's playing very well in the WHL. Like, so he's going to come to the NHL, and what does he see? Like, the season or the couple of seasons before he makes it, this is what he sees. Like, this is the environment he's coming into. It sucks. It really does.
Yeah, maybe we'll be able to talk about more positive things in NHL culture next season, because it won't be happening this year.
Nope. Doesn't seem so.
Or should we be focusing on the good things, Anna?
Yeah, you told me what those are.
Okay, I will put together an exhaustive list of good things.
Yeah, sure.
We can talk about it. So, yeah, quick recap. Bye-bye, Bo. Kuz is to stay. The ship is captainless. Although Alvin in his press conference brought up the names of Hughes and Pettersson as being captain material. Did not bring up Miller.
Weird. He had such good temperament.
So, well, actually, there were, and we didn't talk about it here, but like Elliot Friedman, when he was talking here in Vancouver, had talked about the core being Pettersson, Hughes. There was, I think, three players. It was Pettersson, Hughes, and one more name as being the core. Didn't include Miller, which then lit things on fire, but then later in the day on a Toronto station said, I misspoke. I should have included Miller as being on the core. Mm-hmm. Still, honest to goodness, if Alvin and Rutherford are playing 5D chess and Miller gets traded to some other team before his no trade kicks in, hey, y'all, you guys are like phenomenal. I withdraw everything up, you know, that I've said in anger.
Yes, like... We'll give them all the flowers.
I will eat as much humble pie as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, here we are at the end of a show. We'll be back again next week. The Vancouver Canucks will have played how many games? Zero. They do, however, play while we record. They'll be on the road out east after their bye week. They kick things off on the 6th against the Devils.
Before playing the Islanders twice in a week.
Yeah, you know.
Should be fun.
Good times. The Rangers twice in a week. The Islanders are just once on the 9th.
Don't we play them the 17th or something? Maybe it's like 10 days later.
15th. So it's the Rangers on the 8th and the 15th, home and home.
Oh, okay.
Islanders on the 9th. And
that's it.
We don't see the Isles in Vancouver until next season. Because that's already happened.
Mm.
Yeah. But, it's New York, New York. They play Detroit, Detroit. It's actually 11-13 Detroit, Detroit. New York Rangers is 8-15. So.
Yeah.
But
yes. And also between times, there's an All-Star game that Bo may or may not be playing in. I hope he does get to play.
I think he does, but what jersey does he wear?
Yeah.
That has to have been printed. I mean, that would be so silly that it'd be like the Canucks logo on the shoulder, but he's no longer a Canuck player. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Or does he play in a New York jersey on the skills comp and then in a Pacific jersey?
Maybe it'll be a neutral All-Star. NHL jersey. He'll be part of the NHLers.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Could be.
Yeah.
But I hope he does get to go because it's a cool thing.
Yeah. Anywho, here we are. End of a show. We'll be back in a week. That may or may not include me. I don't know if I'm taking the week off. We'll see.
Yes, to be confirmed. We'll see.
Yeah. But if y'all want to keep in touch with us, and you probably do, Anna, how can they go about doing that?
I love it when you just throw to me when I'm not expecting it. We're on Twitter at the C4 Podcast, also on Facebook at the C4 Podcast. If you want to talk to us on Discord, because I'm sure we'll be debating the merits of the trade, the Bo trade, and the Kuzmenko deal, as well as posting pictures of our dinner for weeks to come. That's discord.io/C4podcast.
You got it.
I love how I stalled for time and then didn't look it up. But I did get it. So yeah, come talk park with us. I'll be posting the articles I talked about there as well, so we can have a chat about that.
And if you want to support our show and choose to do so either monthly or on just a one-time basis, you can throw a few bucks our way by going to support.c4podcast.com. That'll take you over to Buy Me a Coffee, where you can aptly instead buy us a pint or two or three.
Obviously.
Yes, because, I mean, I like coffee.
I do. I love coffee, but I like
pints. But I like pints.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any final words of wisdom there, Anna?
Just to say that it's been a privilege to watch the young Bo Horvat grow into man under the tutelage of the Sedins and become a leader for the Canucks. And we wish him all the very best of luck because I know he listens.
Yes, I mean, I second that. Mr. Bowie William Horvat, fare thee well. Enjoy your time in Nassau. Actually, where do they play
now? Play at UBS. They're still in Brooklyn? It's called. No, they moved back to Long Island, but it's called the UBS. It's a brand new arena.
Okay, I mean, I in Long Island, the previously was in Nassau, and
now, yeah, which I think was falling apart even more than the Saddle Dome and Rogers currently is. Maybe not there as much as the Joe did, but.
I'm trying to think, was it a 30 and 30 or whatever it was? There were a couple shows that one talked about sort of just the Islanders in general. And then there was the other one that spoke about how someone who bought the team, who had no money to buy the team, was able to essentially fake his way into becoming an NHL owner.
I mean, you don't need money to buy a sports team. Just ask the Glazers and United fans.
I'm curious what that big shot. That's what it was. Yeah. If you've not seen the 30 for 30, it's in ESPN Films, Big Shot. Watch it. It's glorious. it talks about John Spano and how he came to own the Islanders when he had absolutely no money to his name. Yeah, like, and we're talking about like quite literally faking documents, sending it into the league, sending it to banks, and them saying, thumbs up, it all checks out.
Yeah, no money, our owners don't have a clue, so.
And the scary thing is he probably could have gotten away with it, except for the fact that there was a TV deal that fell through late in the game. But had that TV deal injected cash into the situation, he would have been able to simply keep things going based on cash on hand. So wow. It's glorious. He actually, they interview him and they talk to him and he actually shares.
This sounds a bit like Alan Stanford in cricket. Maybe not as bad. I don't know if he's as bad an egg as Alan Stanford is, but.
Yeah. Well, John Spano went to jail. Did this guy go to jail?
He's still in jail.
Oh, okay. Well, John isn't in jail anymore.
Yeah. But there was actually a podcast series about Alan Stanford and what happened with that. So that's an interesting story too.
Cool. Well, on behalf of Anna, A4603, myself, Chris, at Lightforce, signing off this week's episode of the C4 Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com with We Out.